NBA on NBC.
What is up, everybody? This is Jim Mylock. You're listening to Pot of Fame, the podcast where we talk about former athletes and decide whether or not they should get a call to the Hall. On today's podcast, we're talking about former Dallas Cowboys strong safety Darren Woodson and whether or not he deserves a spot in Ken. Enjoying us in just a moment to discuss Woodson's career and Hall of Fame candidacy is longtime NFL writer and Hall of Fame voter Shireen Williams. But before we bring Shireen on, let's talk a little more about Woodson. So Woodson played his entire career for the Dallas Cowboys from 1992 to 2003 and won three Super Bowls with those Cowboys teams. Actually, he won three Super Bowls in his first four seasons. He was a five-time Pro Bowler and a three-time All-Pro. He had 23 career interceptions, 11 career sacks, 12 career forced fumbles, and two defensive touchdowns, also playing 16 playoff games where he had three interceptions. Now, Woodson's never going to jump off the page in terms of statistics, right? 23 interceptions, 11 sacks. That's nothing anyone's going to get too excited about. But what Woodson really was a versatile safety that could play the run and pass extremely effectively and was the heart and soul of a Dallas Cowboys defense, which is honestly, historically underrated. The 90s Cowboys teams had some of the better defenses in NFL history, and Woodson really was the leader of those defenses. But was that enough to get him in the Hall of Fame? And Shireen and I will discuss that in today's pod. So with the quick facts out of the way, let's bring on Shireen. All right, so I'd like to welcome to the pod today longtime NFL writer and Hall of Fame voter Shireen Williams to the pod. Shireen, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So Shireen is actually the very first woman to have a vote for the Football Hall of Fame, the first woman to serve as the president of the Pro Football Writers Association, and the very first woman to win the Dick McCann Award, which she won in 2018, which basically... I mean, that makes Shireen a Hall of Famer herself. So very excited to have you on here, a Hall of Famer. And, you know, Shireen, today you're here because we're talking about Darren Woodson and whether or not, you know, he should be in the Hall of Fame, talk about his career and his Hall of Fame candidacy. And Shireen, what I ask every guest before we get started on anything about a player's career or maybe why or why they aren't in the Hall of Fame today is when you think of Darren Woodson, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think it's his leadership. You know, when I think of Darren, when he left the team at the old team facility, Valley Ranch in Irving, he signed his locker. He signed the back of the locker and he signed three-time Super Bowl champion. And guys fought to have that locker because it became the best locker in the locker room because you wanted the locker that Darren Woodson had, that Darren Woodson used to practice to become a five-time All-Pro and a five-time Pro Bowler and three-time All-Pro. So you wanted that locker if you're a player in that Cowboys locker room. It was very coveted, and it only went to the best of players and usually to a defensive player. So that's what I remember about Darren. It's just the leadership quality that he offered to that defense and to that team for a really long time in his career. And that's what kind of, you know, stands out to me. You know, the fact that he's the team's all-time leading tackler, I think stands out too and speaks to really how good of a tackler he was. And when we talk about tackles, we know they can be downfield. And if they're 7, 8, 10, 15, 30 yards down the field, then those numbers aren't so good. But I think what you find when you go back and you look with your eyes and you look at some of the film that Darren Woodson put out there, that his tackles were real tackles. They were, you know, they were tackles at the line of scrimmage, you know, because he played down there some, you know, they were quality tackles. They weren't tackles down the field when he was the last line of the defense and it was a, you know, 30 or 40 yard game. A lot of his tackles were, you know, at the line of scrimmage or just beyond the line of scrimmage. And I just think that speaks to how good of a player that Darren Woodson was. But his leadership to me stands out more than anything else that he ever did on the field.
Yeah, and he was most definitely, I would say, the heart and soul of those Cowboys defenses from the 90s, which I think, again, I'm not anywhere close to Dallas. I'm out in Chicago. We're very far away from there here. But those Dallas defenses of the 90s were elite. And I feel like when I, at least in this neck of the woods, when we look back at those, that Cowboys dynasty from the 90s, I immediately think of Aikman. I think of Smith. I think of Michael Irvin. I think of the offense. But the defenses that Woodson was really the leader of, that was the number one ranked defense in 92, 94, and 2003. And they were top five in the league for six of the seasons he played. I don't know why, and Trin, maybe this is just a outside of Dallas, we don't appreciate the defensive enough, but why did you feel like the offense overshadowed the defense during that time, even though the defense was equally as talented, if not more?
Yeah, you stole one of my arguments. That is one of my arguments, is how good that defense was. And you talk about the defense. The Cowboys offense never ranked number one in yards, ever. As good as they were with the triplets in the 90s, they did not rank number one overall in total offense. Now, we all know they were really good. There's no doubt about that. You look at the players from that offense who are in the Hall of Fame. There's no arguing that that was an elite offense. And to your point, I do think that overshadowed that defense. They were number one in yards in 92 after they traded for Charles Haley. And rightfully, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He kind of made the difference on that defense. And Darren Woodson was a rookie in 92. I get that. But then you look in 93, they were second in yards. 94, they were first in yards. 95, they were third in points. 96, they were third in yards and points. And 2003, as you pointed out. So a lot of those seasons that Darren Woodson was there, that was an elite defense. And the fact that they only have one real Hall of Famer in there speaks to how overlooked I think they are. Now, we all know Deion came in late and played on that 95 team and really made a difference there at cornerback. And obviously as a returner in 95, he made a huge difference and he's in the Hall of Fame. But I'm talking guys that played on all three of those championship seasons. You're looking at Charles Haley as being the guy who's in the Hall of Fame representing that defense. And that's why I think when you look at all the players who played on those teams and as good as they were, the next guy you go to after Charles Haley and throwing out Deion Sanders is Darren Woodson. So I think they deserve more players from that defense in the Hall of Fame. And when you start really digging and looking at it, Darren Woodson is the guy off those three championship teams that probably needs to go in off that defense because it was an elite defense.
Yeah. And if you look throughout history, and I did this the other day when I was talking to Rick Tillander from the Chicago Sun Times, we were talking about Steve McMichael as a possible Hall of Famer. And we were looking at all the greatest defenses of all time. And when you look at them, each of them, whether it be the Steel Curtain from the 70s or Tampa Bay just got John Lynch in to join Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp, some of the better defenses of all time, they have 3, 4, 5 Hall of Famers at times. These Dallas Cowboys defenses, again, that 90s unit, one of the better units of all time, really only has Charles Haley. And then again, Deion was at the later half of the decade. But when you're talking about all-time great defenses, that Dallas defense fits right alongside in there. But when it comes to how many Hall of Famers are actually on that team, it's really misrepresented. And sure, now I kind of want to move to our next category here, our next segment, and we call this That Memorable Moment. And this is tough sometimes, especially when players play for a very long time, when they have short peaks, it's a little easier. But I usually ask, you know, if you were to say what is Darren Woodson's most memorable moment, whether it be a single play, a game, or even a season, what would you pinpoint his most memorable moment being for his career?
Well, it's funny because I had picked one out and then I texted him last night and I said, hey, what do you think your kind of signature play or signature moment was? And he picked the exact same play. So I think I'm on target here. You know, it was a game against, it was a regular season game against the Eagles and it was late in the season. And the Eagles had Randall Cunningham and it was late in the fourth quarter and the Eagles were driving for the go-ahead touchdown. And they were close to taking the lead late in the game, 6:43 left. And Darren Woodson picked off a tip pass that Randall Cunningham had thrown and he returned it 94 yards for a touchdown the other way. And so the final score ended up being 31-19. And so I think that was probably the play when you think of Darren Woodson, when you think of one play, that was probably the play that stands out. But there was just that stretch there from 94 to 98. And if you want to get even closer in from 94 to 96, when Darren Woodson was arguably the best or one of the best safeties in football. I mean, he made the All-Pro team 94, 95, 96. He made the Pro Bowl 5 years in a row there. I mean, that stretch, he was as good as any safety in football. He was really, really good in that five-year stretch right there. So those are kind of the two things that stand out for me on Darren Woodson. It's just that stretch that he made. But that play in that Eagles game in 94, and, you know, I did a podcast recently on the greatest teams in Cowboys history. And that 94 team might have been the greatest team in Cowboys history, but of course you can't name them that because they didn't get it done when they needed to get it done against San Francisco. They fell behind early and just could never catch up. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson stays, we go back and do the what ifs, but that 94 team was a really, really good football team. And of course that defense was number one in yards allowed that season. That was a really good team, and Darren Woodson was a big part of why they were so good in 94.
And if the Cowboys had won in 94, that would have given Darren Woodson four Super Bowls in his first four seasons, which would basically start to make him the Bill Russell of the NFL. Obviously, he still won three Super Bowls in his first 4 years. He probably thought that's what you're supposed to do at the end of every season, but I had that down as well. I saw that clip last night when I was kind of just rewatching some of Woodson's old plays, you know, the pick against Randall Cunningham. The one thing I want to bring up here too, Shireen, is, and this ties to what we were talking about, you know, just a second ago around the offense overshadowed Woodson, I think throughout his career, just by dumb luck or other things like having three Hall of Famers on the offensive side of the football. When he broke the record for most tackles in Dallas Cowboys history, he broke that the same game Emmitt Smith broke the all-time, you know, rushing record, Walter Payne, which is a bigger deal, I would say. So even when he's setting history, I mean, Dallas Cowboys, it's one of the, you know, ultimate franchises, right? And all across sports, not just the NFL, he's breaking something like the tackles record. And of course his teammate happens to break, you know, one of the main records in the NFL that same very game. And then not to even, you know, hit the, you know, talk about this even more, but he got ejected out of that game for an illegal hit he actually put on Daryl Jackson later in that game. So he actually got thrown out. So not only when he sets something that should be, you know, all about him, one, the main story coming out of it is, you know, he gets ejected for this hit. And then two, of course, Emmitt Smith breaks the record. So even in moments like that, when he should have the spotlight, he was kind of put on the back burner. And again, those things are totally obvious control.
Yeah, and I think it's a point well made. He was just really overshadowed by that offense, and I think that's a great game that kind of illustrates that. But I will say one thing that's really probably worked against him is, you know, he doesn't necessarily have the interception numbers that people look for. He certainly doesn't have the sack numbers that people look for. I mean, this is such a stat-driven league. We all know that. Like, you want stats to back up why somebody should be in the Hall of Fame. And we, as voters, we tend to go offense, too. We do the same thing. We tend to, because they have numbers. Other than the offensive line, they have numbers. And we tend to look at those numbers. Well, tackles aren't an official NFL stat. So even when we say, you know, he's the Cowboys' all-time leading tackler, well, what does that mean? Like, for the Cowboys, it's a big deal because they've always kept it. In fact, they've always kept the sacks even before sacks became an official NFL statistic in 1982. They recognize Harvey Martin's sacks that he made before 1982, but a lot of teams don't do that. So you say, what do tackles mean? And how did teams determine who made the tackles? Is it the statisticians during the game that are in the press box, or is it from coaches' film when they go back and watch it on Monday? So that's the question you get into is, you know, and a lot of teams, frankly, tend to pad the stats when their coaches go back and watch those tackles. So I do think that's one thing that's worked against him is not only is he overshadowed by what the offense did, but I think it's just the fact that his main numbers are tackles. And when we look at tackles, we're like going, well, they're not an official NFL stat, right? A lot of people do that. But again, I think if you go back and you watch him play, I just think you see how important he was to that defense and how many different things he could do.
No, most definitely. And yeah, his you know, interception wise, 23 for his career, which again, if you're comparing him to a free safety, that's nowhere near what a typical Hall of Famer does. But when you look at the strong safeties in the Hall of Fame, whether it be, you know, John Lynch, who got in this year, or, you know, even someone, he was a free safety, but Steve Atwater, right? He didn't have the pick numbers, but he got in, I think, again, and we're going to get this in a second, but I think very similar type of career, a leader of a defense, a big hitter, someone that made a lot of tackles. And Atwater recently got in, but this is, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves because our next segment here, we call this And Twins.
I love quarterbacks eating dirt, pom-poms and short skirts.
And we already started doing this here a little bit. I just was of, you know, if you look at the Hall of Fame, how long have you been a voter for?
Oh, I think it was the year Michael Irvin went in. So it was 2007, I believe, was the first year I voted.
All right. So you've been a voter for quite some time now. What we do in this segment is really try. And this is, there's been a lot, and I want to talk about this in a little bit, but there's been a lot of safeties recently going in the Hall of Fame. But if you were to kind of look at the players in the Hall of Fame today, whether it be the style of play of Darren Woodson or statistics or kind of a combination of both, who do you think best represents or most reminds you of Darren Woodson that's already enshrined in canon, or we're let John Lynch be available too, since he was just elected as part of the 2021 class?
Yeah. And I covered those Bucks teams, when Lynch played there, and so I love all those guys, and I've presented Lynch for the Hall of Fame one of the years he didn't get in. So those are all my guys, Brooke Sapp and Lynch, and I was there for when they started to turn it around before they won the Super Bowl. But, you know, with Woodson, I think it's really hard to find a comparison. You know, safeties historically, you talked a little bit about this, but they've traditionally been like box safeties who excel against the run, or they've been ball hawks who are light on tackling, but they really excel when the football is in the air. And Woody was a box safety, but he also had coverage abilities. And it was a rare combination. It was a really rare combination back then. You know, I think Ronnie Lott maybe compares a little bit in style, but Lott obviously made a lot more plays when the ball was in the air than Darren Woodson did. There's some traits of Larry Wilson, I think, and Troy Polamalu in Woody's game, but there really is no true clone for Darren Woodson. I think he was a unique talent, but I threw the question out to him because that was my take on it. And I threw the question out to him and he had a very interesting response. And he said, I would say that I'm most like Marshall Faulk. And I said, huh?
Oh, wow. I love this.
Because it makes sense because Marshall Faulk was extremely versatile, mm-hmm, and could line up as a running back or receiver. And he says, I could play multiple positions too. And it's a great point because he could do both. You know, he could line up as a box safety, but he could also play on the back end. So there were so many ways that he could play. He could be your nickel corner. I mean, he was just that good. And I do think he was a unique talent, but I thought the comparison that he made to Marshall Faulk, it actually makes a little bit of sense. And I kind of chuckled at it. I sent him back an LOL on that, but you know what? It's a pretty good comparison because I don't know that there's a safety that compares to him, but you get the comparison to Marshall Faulk just because they were so unique in what they did.
I love it. I usually, Sherry, what I try to do is I write someone down and I try to keep the track of number of times I actually match up with my guest. I definitely don't have Marshall Faulk down, but I love that because the versatility, I want to get to that in a second, actually, in court, the last segment we have here, but he was like, you put it perfectly. When I look at safeties, I have two buckets. I'm either like, okay, the safety's a ball hawk or a playmaker, right?
Yeah.
Or he's a hard hitter. He's John Lynch,
loud.
He's people like, that's what I think of, a hard hitter, or he's a ball hawk. And when I think of Darren Woodson, I don't really put him in either of my buckets. So where am I supposed to put him? And versatile is exactly what I have written down here is what he did. He came in, he could play the slot receiver. All those times they were playing the 49ers, he would match up, you know, against Jerry Rice in the slot there. He could stop the run. He was one of the first, I think, really bigger safeties. Nowadays they're all humongous, but you know, you 6'1", 220, big guy could come up and you know, running backs were getting 30 carries a game back then. He could come up and stuff them at the line, but also, you know, guard pretty much anyone that was going across the middle. But I don't think of him as these highlight big hits. Of course, we talked earlier, he's not picking the ball off. He had two career touchdowns, so it's nowhere near people like Ed Reed, who are just seem to be in the end zone every other game. But that versatility of him is his calling card. And I don't think of, I had John Lynch written down just because I think the numbers kind of line up, you know, not crazy interceptions, not crazy sack totals, but just a leader, kind of the vocal point of a defense. But I think more of someone who's playing today who will most likely down the road maybe be in the Hall of Fame. But I think a lot of Jamal Adams on the Seahawks, right? Super versatile. He's kind of the heart and soul of Seattle now. He used to be on the Jets, of course. And they kind of put him all over the field to kind of function as a you know, a Swiss Army knife type deal. And, you know, I don't know if, and you could probably tell me better than anyone, if the Cowboys really gave Woodson free reign to kind of roam around like I feel like Adams does today. But that's the type of player I see him of who he was in the 90s. And I think he was kind of the first of that type of safety to really come in the NFL. He almost paved the way for future safeties to kind of have that role of being all over the field and effectively stop both pass and the run just as well.
Yeah, that may be a good comparison with Jamal Adams, has some Darren Woodson in it. Now, I think that Jamal Adams is obviously better rushing the passer. Woody only had 11 career sacks, and obviously we saw what Jamal Adams did in 2020 getting to the quarterback. So there's a little difference there, but I do think very similar in that they both can do many things. They're both very versatile. You know, you can't put them in a box that, okay, he's just going to do this, or he's just going to do that, or he's good at this. So that's what I think separates Darren Woodson, and probably at the same time hurts his Hall of Fame chances, is he can do so many things for the Cowboys. So, you know, I just think when you start digging into Darren Woodson, you just see how important he was to that team and how much he could do.
No, most definitely. So our final segment here, Shireen, is called Court.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And what we do here, and we've been doing this throughout the podcast, but kind of talk about why, you know, Woodson deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, why he's maybe been waiting since he has been a semifinalist for five different years of the voting. He has yet to be a finalist this year for the 2021 class. He was again a semifinalist, but did not make the final cut to the finalist room. And I want to kind of start this conversation with just talking about the safety position in general. So Hall of Fame, first 54 years of existence, only 7 pure safeties were elected in the Hall of Fame. However, in the last 5 years, which you've been voting way over the last 5 years, but the last 5 years, 8 safeties have been elected. So can you please tell our audience here, what is going on with the safety position? Why was it so ignored those first 50 years? And what's with the recent just, I mean, they went from 7 to now 15 pure safeties in a matter of just the last 5 years. What's been the drastic change? What's going, conversations in the room, what's different than in years past?
I don't know, but I have been a proponent of the safety position for a long time. I don't think we treated them properly. I've used that 7 number for many, many years, and it was just not enough for what safeties meant and mean to teams. And I just think we undervalued them. Again, I think it probably goes back to the numbers. A lot of their numbers are tackle numbers. They're not interception numbers. They're not sack numbers. They don't have those official NFL statistics. So I think that's one of the reasons. And again, we always tend to look at the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, I have that same, you know, John Lynch, Troy Polamalu, Cliff Harris, Steve Atwater, Bobby Dillon, Ed Reed, Kenny Easley, Brian Dawkins, Donnie Schell. You know, we've just started to put these guys in year after year after year. And I think it's great to see. Now, I think there's a couple other guys besides Darren Woodson you've got to consider too. And that's Leroy Butler and Rodney Harrison. Mm-hmm. And I think their names are going to come up. But it's great to see that we have finally started to recognize how important safeties are to defenses, how important safeties are to teams. and the fact that they should be in the Hall of Fame. A lot of these guys had great careers. You know, look at Steve Atwater for how long he was ignored, and then he gets in the room, and I think it was his second year, right, when he was a finalist, that he goes into the Hall of Fame. It didn't take long at all once we started breaking down, like, what he did really, really well. Lynch had the same problem that Woody has, and again, it was the tackling numbers and not the sacks and not the interceptions, and that was the question we kept getting from other voters was, why didn't he have the interception numbers? Well, you know, that's not what he did. That's not how he was important to that defense, but he was a leader on that defense. And so I love it. I'm glad to see a lot of these guys getting recognized. And I also think that, you know, we've had these centennial classes, which I was on the committees that selected those guys. I think history views players much more favorably later on. And you look at the Donnie Shells and the Cliff Harrises, those guys from the Cowboys and Steelers teams of the 1970s, they're finally getting honored, and it took forever. And I think Cliff is probably a good example for Woody for how long it took before his career was recognized as Hall of Fame worthy. We've seen it with the Raiders, how long it took Ken Stabler to go in. You know, a lot of these guys just really have gotten overlooked. And now we've come back and we go re-examined them from the 70s and 80s and said, wait, these guys do deserve Hall of Fame consideration. They do deserve to go in. Kenny Easley, as short as his career was one of the top safeties in the league in the time that he played. So I think that's the good news for Woody is, A, we're starting to recognize the safety position and its importance to the game and to defenses. And then B, how much more favorably we look at guys as time passes. And I do think, and I hope it's sooner than later, that we start to go, hey, those Cowboys defenses, you know, they were really, really good. They were elite. It was elite defense that they played in the 1990s. And they only have one Hall of Famer who played in those three Super Bowls. Maybe we should look at that defense again and reexamine. And I think when you do, Darren Woodson is the name that pops up as the guy, next guy behind Charles Haley, who contributed the most to those Super Bowl teams. So I hope those two things help him moving forward to finally get in the room and be discussed. Just like Atwater, you've got to get in the room, be discussed. And then I think quickly people will recognize how good he is. That's what happened with Atwater.
Yeah, and going to, you know, looking at Woodson's case, right? The two people I gravitated to were Steve Atwater and John Lynch. Again, Atwater got in finally in 2020. John Lynch got in as part of the 2021 class. Because as we've been talking about, right, one of the big knocks on Woodson is going to be people gravitate to numbers. That's just what they do. Tackles, again, teams have tackles. I know Pro Football Reference has their own definition of tackles, so that's kind of, you know, obsolete. Maybe we throw that away. So then we just look at stuff like picks and sacks. And when you look at Steve Atwater and John Lynch, their interception totals and their sack totals are almost identical, honestly, to Woodson. So in your opinion, why did Steve Atwater, why did John Lynch, why did they get in that finalist room? And John Lynch was a finalist for a number of years. And again, I think both of them are Hall of Famers. It's nothing against them. But why do you believe they got in the room before Woodson, when Woodson had more Super Bowl rings and he had almost exactly the same type of statistics other than Atwater and Lynch had more Pro Bowls? Which I don't think really, I mean, Pro Bowls matter to an extent, but I always say Mitchell Trubisky made a Pro Bowl, so I don't look too closely at him. But why were they getting in the room when Woodson's still on the outside looking in?
I think one thing that works against Darren, and we're going to have to figure out a way overcome this, I guess, is the best way to put it, because I may end up presenting Darren Woodson, and I hope I get that opportunity in the room when he's a finalist. But he did not make an all-decade team, right? As good as he was in the 1990s with five Pro Bowls and three All-Pros, the first team all-decade safeties were Steve Atwater and Leroy Butler. And Leroy is still waiting to get in. So I do think that Leroy Butler is going to have to go in before Darren Woodson gets his opportunity, because simply – the same voters who were in that room, a lot of them voted for those all-decade teams, right? It's the same committee that votes for those now. I realize the committee's changed over a little bit since then, but it is Hall of Fame voters who vote for All-Decade. And those were the first team All-Decade players. And then the second team All-Decade players of that decade, of the 1990s, was Ronnie Lott and Carnell Lite. And, of course, Ronnie Lott got in quickly. Carnell Lite may never see the light of day. We'll see if he ever gets an opportunity and his name comes up. But, you know, I think that's one thing working against Woody, that as good as he was in the 1990s, he didn't make either All-Decade team. And that's a pretty big deal, frankly. I think that's, if you make All-Decade, you know, took Drew Pearson forever to get in as a first-team All-Decade player. Yeah. But when you make first-team All-Decade, it's a pretty good indication that you're going to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day, and it usually works out that way. And I do think it'll work out that way for Leroy Butler. And once Leroy Butler gets into the Hall of Fame, I think that opens things up for Darren Woodson to potentially go in. So I think that's one thing I think we're waiting on, is to get Leroy Butler in there, and then maybe Darren gets his opportunity soon after that.
No, I feel like I feel like I'm sharing my notes with you right now, because that was exactly where I wanted to direct this next, that Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade team. I think that's a glaring thing that people do look at. It doesn't guarantee you to get in, you know, relatively soon. As you brought up, Drew Pearson had to wait forever to finally get in as part of this class. We actually did a episode with Gary Myers on him last year, and now he's in. So I'm happy about that. But those decade teams do matter. You know, first and second team, if he's not considered one of the top four safeties, you know, is he good enough to be in the Hall of Fame? And then Pro Football Reference also puts out an All-Decade team every decade. And their first team was Butler and Lake, and their second team was actually Eugene Robinson and Steve Atwater. So he was also left off that. Do you, like, in your opinion, and Butler is someone I am trying to do an episode on very soon, because he was a four-time All-Pro in the 90s. I cannot believe he is still waiting. And honestly, I can't believe he got in, or he's going to get in maybe after John Lynch, because I think Butler is honestly superior than Lynch and Steve Atwater, but it's another day. But out of those players, Butler, Lake, Eugene Robinson, Atwater, Ronnie Lott, he's better, but do you think it's fair that Woodson was left off there? Would you remove one of those names and put Woodson on there instead? Or do you think the voters at that point, do you think they got it right?
You know, I haven't delved into it that deeply to look at what all those guys did during the 1990s. And I wasn't a voter then. So I haven't delved into exactly to compare the five guys, the four who made first or second team, and Darren Woodson. I just know that Darren Woodson was really productive in the 1990s and was one of the best safeties in the NFL in that decade. And I don't think you can deny that with what he did with the All-Pro honors and with the Pro Bowls, and went in the three Super Bowls, and he was instrumental, obviously, in two of those Super Bowl teams. And, you know, even the 96 team, you started to see the decline, but it wasn't because of the defense. That was the offense going down, the decline of the offense in 96. I mean, that 96 team was third in yards and third in points. And Woodson was a big reason for that. And they're the ones, the defense, that made the Cowboys competitive, even in 96, as the offense is declining there. I would hesitate to say that those guys didn't deserve it and Woody did. But I do know that Darren Woodson had a really great career in the 1990s. There's no denying that.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And it gets really, I mean, I look at some of these All-Decade teams, either the Pro Football Hall of Fame or Pro Football Reference does. And I disagree sometimes with what they're saying here. And honestly, Lake was very surprising to me, just because he doesn't get brought up in the same breath as any of these guys. I mean, Woodson's always in the same breath as a Butler and Atwater, but Lake is on both of these, a first for the Pro Football Reference. And I knew he was a great safety on those Steelers teams. And the Jaguars for that one season, actually, but I just never considered him in the same category. And maybe that's something I need to look back at as well, because I never think of him in that light. So he is a surprising kind of, you know, focal point of both those teams. But getting to final verdict here, just two questions for you. One, do you think that Darren Woodson is a Hall of Famer? And then two, do you think he will ever get into Ken?
I do think he's a Hall of Famer. I just think he checks most of the boxes that we look for, right? Five-time Pro Bowl, three-time All-Pro, three-time Super Bowl champion, played 12 seasons, 178 games, 162 starts, all-time leading tackler for the franchise, played on just some magnificent, some great teams. And then I think one thing that you go back and you look at, right? We all know that the Cowboys haven't been to a championship game since 1995, much less the Super Bowl. That was the last Super Bowl win, but they haven't even been to a championship game. And one of the reasons for that is I think you look at the safety position. They've ignored that position or mismanaged that position, however you want to look at it. But their last Pro Bowl safety came in 2007, and that was Roy Williams. Mm. And frankly, Roy Williams was not as good after Darren Woodson left. I realized 2007, Woody wasn't there when he made the Pro Bowl, but Roy Williams made those Pro Bowls after Woody left a lot on reputation. He wasn't the same guy after Woody left. So in my mind, Darren Woodson is the last truly great safety that the Cowboys had. And I might throw Roy Williams in there with an asterisk. He did have five Pro Bowls in his career. I think that speaks to how good the Cowboys were in 1990s and helps explain why, especially on defense. And I think it also answers some questions about why haven't they gotten back to a championship game? Because I just think that you have to have a good, you can't ignore the safety position. You can't just throw two guys out there on the back end and expect to be really good. I just don't think it works like that. And I think that's what the Cowboys have tried to do some since Woody last played in 2003. And they should have figured out by now that it doesn't work like that. But as much as they've tried to fix that position, they haven't done it. So I that to me is in favor of his case to make it is just, you know, he was that true great safety that the Cowboys had, just like Cliff Harris was for those 1970s teams. And I just think you have to have that guy on that defense if you're going to have a chance to be competitive and be a contender and win some Super Bowls. And I think Cliff Harris was able to do that. And I think Darren Woodson was able to do that, which I think, you know, going into the future, I do think Darren Woodson makes the Hall of Fame. Do I think it's anytime soon? Probably not, just because he hasn't even gotten in the room yet as a finalist. I mean, that's the next step you have to take. And again, I think it's going to take Leroy Butler going in first. So I still think we're a little ways away, but you know, I tell Woody all the time, don't give up on this. You know, Cliff Harris waited forever to go in, and hopefully the wait for Darren Woodson isn't as long. But I do think as history passes that Darren Woodson is going to be looked upon more favorably, and I do think he eventually gets into the Hall of Fame. I just hope it's not as a seniors candidate. I hope it comes before that when he's on the modern era ballot and we finally realize his greatness and vote him in. That would be my hope.
Yeah, and he does getting in the room is half the battle, that finalist room, and he has yet to do that. But maybe with the safety logjam slowly clearing out over the years with the
that
number
helps.
Of safeties getting in, again, I do believe, as you said, Butler is going to get there in their first. But then I think, you know, Woodson before maybe some other safeties that are retiring or recently retired get in there, I think he might be the next man up, and that will help. So, Sharon, I want to thank you very much for joining the podcast. Honestly, kind of breaking my brain a little bit with the Marshall Faulk comparison, which I now am kind of obsessed with, and talking about Darren Woodson today. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
All right. So I want to thank Shireen again for coming on today. Really enjoyed talking to her about Darren Woodson. Now, obviously, I did not get my final verdict at the end. It's not because we ran out of time. It's actually because, and I believe this is a first, I started to have a change of heart of what I was going to say after talking to Shireen about Woodson's career. You know, I go into every podcast with a great idea of what I'm going to say at the end in terms of the final verdict. I mean, I do all my homework before, the research before, and I know what I'm going to say at the end for the most part. I went into this thinking Woodson was not a Hall of Famer, that I didn't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And near the end there, I started to doubt that. So I wanted to collect my thoughts and come back to this after Shireen left. So here we are. So my final verdict, do I think Darren Woodson is a Hall of Famer? And unfortunately, my answer is still no. It's what I originally had down, but I actually had to step back and think about it. I understand stats aren't everything. If I talk to enough of these Hall of Fame voters, where I know the eye test is a lot, and Darren Woodson probably passes the eye test for a lot. He was the focal point of an excellent defense. And even though stats don't jump off the page, he was the most important defensive player possibly on that, on those Dallas Cowboys teams. But what gives me pause, and which given me pause and still gives me pause, and why I can't say he's a Hall of Famer, is because of what Shireen and me talked about not being one of the four safeties on either the Pro Football Reference All-Decade Team or the Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade Team. And again, Leroy Butler was on there. Carnell Lake was on there. Eugene Robinson, Steve Atwater, Ronnie Lott. All five of those safeties made up the two different teams. Butler, Lake, and Atwater were on all three, or were both on both teams, I guess. And then Ronnie Lott was on a team for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Eugene Robinson was on the Pro Football Reference All-Decade Team. And I guess how it comes down to here is Darren Woodson was an excellent player. There's no doubt about that. All-time great. No doubt about that. But if you were not, neither of these groups that saw all these players play in the 90s, if neither of these groups, so the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Reference, if neither of them thought Darren Woodson was a top four safety of a decade, I don't think he can be a Hall of Famer. You know, we talked about how few safeties are in the Hall of Fame. If you're the fifth best safety, sixth best safety, fifth or sixth best safety in your decade, you cannot be in the Hall of Fame. You just can't. There's not enough spots in the Hall of Fame for the fifth or sixth best at a position to get in the Hall of Fame. Outside of maybe quarterback, and even that's super, super iffy. Or a wide receiver, maybe. That's probably still iffy. No. I think if you're not top four at your position, if you're five or six, I don't think you're a Hall of Famer, and definitely at the safety position. And when you look at these people that are ahead of him on these lists, at least Butler's not in, Lake's not in, Robinson's not in, Atwater just got in, Ronnie Lott's an all-time great. He obviously was going to get in, but I just can't put Woodson in, and the picks do matter to me. The low interceptions does matter. The fact that I couldn't bucket him into a playmaker or a big hitter, that kind of hurts him, but it's really that I keep coming back to. So I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's extremely tough for me to say that because I've only heard Darren Woodson's a great guy. And again, he's right there on the edge. And if he got in, I would not argue it. Let's put it that way. However, do I think he'll actually ever get in? I do think he will get in. To our point, a lot of safeties are being elected right now. And there was a huge logjam. And maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would say no. People like Atwater were waiting for a while. Donnie Shell, Johnny Robinson, Cliff Harris, all were waiting a very long time. And now they're all getting in, and that backlog is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now we're kind of along the lines of the Butlers, the Rodney Harrison, who we did a podcast on already, those types of guys. And I think Woodson plays a lot better there. So I think he may get in. I think it will be by a senior committee one day, though, that looks back at the 90s. Just like Shireen said, she was dead on. Looks back at those 90s Cowboys teams and goes, wow, that defense was good. Why are there not more players from that team in the Hall of Fame? I think that's what ends up happening. I think he gets in a long time from now, 30, 40 years down the road, but I do think he eventually will get into Ken, let's say this century. So that is today's podcast. Again, I want to thank Shireen for coming on today. If you don't already follow her on Twitter, she tweets out a lot of great stuff. She's at NFL Shireen. Again, that's NFL Shireen. Or follow her writing at Pro Football Talk. She's still writing for them today. So follow her, especially when the NFL season starts, for any football news. I want to thank you all again for joining. Follow us on Twitter at Pod of Fame. follow us on Instagram, and please subscribe to us and leave us a rating on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Also, Apple Podcasts switched up their how they present podcasts, just the overall format. It is terrible. I apologize. If you don't like it like I don't like it, I'm available on Spotify too. Feel free to follow me there, but don't stop listening. So again, we are done with this podcast. Woodson is a no from me. Very tough, but a no from me. And we will talk to you next Monday. Thanks again.